Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I guess we'll start with reading the chapter.
Yes.
After we sung it, we should also read it.
Louder, Judge.
Louder? Okay. Psalm 122.
Amen.
Psalm 122. Amen. Amen. I was glad when they said to me,
"Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good."
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord that we have come to this chapter now, 122.
Amen.
I guess you will all agree when we say that without the experience of 120 and 121, it is impossible to have the experience of 122.
Right.
If we are all babes and we're all fleshly and we're all immature, then there's no way the Lord can build up His church.
Right?
And this is exactly what we see in what we've already read yesterday in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we don't ascend and we don't experience the Lord's salvation,
right,
if we're not saved to the uttermost, so what happens is when we come together, what do we have? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" This is the situation in Corinth, right? I don't think you would be glad to come to the house of the Lord if they're full of envy, strife, and division, right? Paul mentioned also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that he said, "You're coming together is not for the better, but for the worse."
Yeah.
Right? And this is exactly what is the situation today.
Yeah.
And also in Galatians, Paul says, if you're fleshly, you'll be what? Biting one another and devouring one another. And at the end, you will be what? Consumed. You'll be fully consumed. So this is terrible. And this is the reason why the Lord, after 2,000 years, still cannot build up His church. Because Christians are remaining babes. They're not growing in life, right? But praise the Lord, today we have grown a bit. We have come to the last stage of level one, which is to build up the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We can all say we're glad
when
they said unto us, "Let us come to the house of the Lord."
Amen.
Why are we all here today? We have people coming from Europe, even as far as what? West Africa.
Yeah.
Right, Nene, what brought you here? You traveled 22 hours, spent so much money to buy the ticket. Here in sunny California, spending 5 days, not in Palm Springs, but where? Here in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You have reached this stage of 122, chapter 122. Right? You'd rather be here than anywhere else.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If we grow in life and we reach maturity, then we're not just for ourselves. Then the Lord opens our eyes to see that He is not just after a bunch of mature Christians, but He wants to build up His church,
Amen.
His house,
yes.
Right? Before, we just appreciate John 3:16, that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die for us, that God loves sinners. But at this stage, we start to appreciate Ephesians chapter 5. Right? What does it say? Amen. Ephesians 5. Let's read that.
Amen.
We are not touched by just the Lord loving sinners and giving Himself to save us. But it says here what? Verse 25.
Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her.
Amen. And then we go on to verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Praise the Lord. Right now we come to appreciate what is in God's heart. Right, that the Lord, His heart's desire is to have a dwelling place on earth. And this is also the experience of the psalmist, right? Let us read a few verses in Psalm also. I have it written down here. Psalm 27 and verse 4, for example. O Lord, amen. Psalm 27. It says here,
One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, once we see the Lord's purpose, then we are glad, right, to come together, right? I'm sure if your heart is for the Lord, your feet will be within the gates, right? Once the Lord said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. But tonight we will say, where your heart is, your feet are also there. Praise the Lord. If you really love the church, you will practically give yourself to her. Just like the Lord, He loved the church and gave Himself. You cannot say you love the church, but you're always somewhere else. When there's a meeting, your feet somewhere else. That's not good, right? Your feet should also be where the saints come together.
Amen.
To be built up.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? I have to really testify that it's always a joy to come together, to meet together, right? Not to just listen to a message, but to really behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of Him. We're coming together not just to meet one another, although we love to meet one another, right? But also mainly to meet the Lord.
Amen.
Not to listen to a message or to go to a church service as it is with many Christians. But we come to really meet the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. Also, it says here, let me go back. Psalm 122. It says here, it is a place where the tribes go up right, to the testimony of Israel. To understand this verse, we have to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12, right? To appreciate this verse, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the Lord said something here very important. When the children of Israel entered the good land, it says here in verse 5 also, but there's another one here. Let me see, what did I write here? Chapter 12 and verse... okay, we read verse 5 first. Right. Let's read verse 5 first. But you shall seek
the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go.
Amen. And verse 11.
Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hands, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
13 and 14. Yes.
Right. Amen. Take heed to yourself
that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you.
Amen. So, you know, when the children of Israel entered the good land, right, there are 12 tribes, and they were scattered all over the land. You know, Israel is kind of a elongated piece of land, right? And the children of Israel, all the 12 tribes, were scattered all over the land. And the Lord told them that when you enter the good land, you should not be like the nations who worship in every hill and mountain and under every green tree that they prefer, right? They just like a tree, and there they would build an altar and worship their God. And God told them, you should not be like them.
Amen.
But you should seek the place that I have chosen. And there you shall bring your offerings.
Amen.
The place that I choose to have my name dwell there.
Amen.
Right? And later on we can see that this place is actually Jerusalem.
Yes.
You might think it is very impractical that, you know, that land is so long, and those in the north, mm-hmm. by the way, Jerusalem is somewhere close to the middle, a little bit south of the middle of this land of Israel, the Palestine, right? And God said, only one place. You might say, not practical. At least 3 places. One in the north, one in the middle, one in the south. Don't you think so? That would be more practical. Especially at that time, they have no cars, right? They have to walk or ride on a donkey. Very impractical. But God says, no, one place only, where you can bring your offerings to worship me. 3 times a year, right, the tribe should come to hold a feast in Jerusalem. This is the place which God has chosen. Why do you think God would do that? Give you a hard time? Is God so impractical?
No. He's righteous.
He's what?
He's righteous,
yes, definitely. But the reason is so that the oneness of his people will be preserved. If God had allowed different worship places, then the nation would be divided, right? Then they have every reason not to come together. But God did not allow that. Jerusalem is the place which God has chosen for his people to meet, right? And today it should be the same. We have no choice. We should go according to God's choice, Amen. God's ordained way for the testimony of oneness, right? And we see in the New Testament, God's ordained way is to have what? One church in one city. Very simple. We all in one city should have the testimony of oneness.
Amen.
You know, I'd like to be built up with David in Toronto. That would be wonderful. But he'll be very impractical. I have to fly to Toronto every week. And it's unaffordable. Then I have to have a helicopter to fly there every week. Not possible, not practical. God's way is that we all meet as one church in every city to have the testimony of oneness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is God's choice.
Yes.
Jerusalem is God's choice for us to come together to build his house, right? Amen. And then it goes on to say that Jerusalem is a what, compact, right?
A city compact together,
right. Built fitly framed together.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 says that what? We as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is fitly framed together. Ephesians, let's read Ephesians chapter 2 also. It says here, in verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right, we need to be fitted together.
Amen.
If we don't even come together, how can we be fitted together? Right. So the oneness is very important.
Amen.
We need to keep the oneness and to really come together and to be fitted together, right? You know, if we're just loosely placed beside one another, then we are not very solid. The enemy can easily destroy the church. But praise the Lord, if we can be fitted together, right, framed fitly together, then the church can be built up. And to be fitted together, the Lord really has to deal with us. We are living stones, but if we are full of corners, we will be poking one another. It's impossible to be fitted together. Right? So we need to allow the Lord to deal with us, to deal with our natural man.
Yes.
Otherwise, it is impossible to be fitted together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to read Colossians chapter 3. This is a good way to be fitted together. It says here in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God,
holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
Amen. But above all things, put on love,
which is the bond of perfection.
Amen. Yeah, this is wonderful. When we come together, we should not be criticizing one another, complaining against one another, talking about one another. That is not good. That is not going to fit us firmly together. That's going to tear us apart, right? We'll be running away. But here, if we really, on one hand, allow the Lord to deal with us in our daily living, right? To cut all the corners. And then, when we come together, we put on tender mercies,
Amen.
Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering,
yes.
Bearing with one another,
Amen.
And forgiving one another. This is important. We don't learn to forgive one another. There's no way for us to be fitted together, right? Oh Lord, even as Christ forgave you,
Amen.
You also must do. Let us learn really to forgive one another
Amen.
In the church life.
Amen.
Right? And then above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I remember last year we read a verse in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. We should remember this verse. This is important. The cutting should not take place in the building, in the building site, but it should take place somewhere else. What does it say here?
And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built.
Praise the Lord. So when we come together, don't chisel one another, cut one another, and use a hammer on one another. That is not good. This is not the place for us to be cut, but in our daily living, in our daily life, at home, at work, we should allow the Lord to deal with us, right? To do His work in us and on us, so that when we come together, we can so nicely fit it together, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and then, what else? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Then, the judgment in the house of God. This is also important, that we realize that there is judgment in the house of God.
Amen.
Because the church is also the kingdom of God, not just the household of God. So there are thrones, right? The throne of David is there. And David is a type of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. Right. Or just verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God,
which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Right. So we need to learn how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Right. You cannot just do whatever you want and insist to do things the way you want it done. And do things that will cause damage and division to the church. Right? Because there will be judgment. Right?
Amen.
And Peter says, judgment begins in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So be careful. Right? There are certain rules and regulations in the church, statutes, which we need to observe. Otherwise, there will be judgment. So don't be loose in the church life. because we have to know that the Lord is there. He is the head of the church.
Amen.
And He loves the church. And He will not allow anyone to destroy the church. Right?
Amen.
So we need to learn how to behave ourselves, to conduct ourselves in the house of God.
Amen.
And then it says, pray for the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem. We need to pray. If we really love Jerusalem, then we should pray for Jerusalem. In Vancouver, we've been doing the book of Daniel currently, and we were very touched by Daniel. How, although he was so busy, he was almost a prime minister, not of a nation, but of an empire. He must be very busy. A lot of work, a lot of responsibility. Yet, three times a day, he has time to open up his window towards Jerusalem and pray for Jerusalem. We need to pray for Jerusalem. If we really love Jerusalem, then remember also to pray for Jerusalem. We can pray for a lot of things, but we pray too little for Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because peace is so important, right? Without peace, how can we be built up? Right? And also for the prosperity. Not that we will all make a lot of money and be millionaires. This is not about the prosperity gospel, which is very popular today. But we're talking about spiritual blessings.
Yes.
We need to pray. We pray a lot for the saints. But what do we pray for? Well, when they're sick, we pray that they will get well. When they lost their job, we pray that they will find one soon. Right? They have this or that difficulty, we pray for them. But how much do we pray for the spiritual prosperity of the saints?
Amen.
That they will experience the spiritual blessings. Like, for example, some of the prayers of Paul is really good. Let us read that. I think Ephesians chapter 1, there's a prayer, right? Paul, he prays unceasingly for the saints. And here he says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. My, if the saints really experience that, that is real prosperity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Oh Lord, may the Lord help us to really pray this way for the saints.
Amen.
Or for example, chapter 3 and verse 16, right? He says here that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Yes, that we should learn to pray that way for all the saints, right? Oh Lord, this is real spiritual prosperity. Or in Colossians, he says here, what? Verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to us that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Amen. And another is in, not only Paul prays that way, in chapter 4. It says here, verse 12, Epaphras also is a person who prays for the saints. It says here, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How often do we pray that way for the saints? Right? We pray for many things, but not very often do we pray in such a way for the prosperity of the saints. Peace and prosperity for the saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, if there is no peace, there is no building. And if there is poverty, there's also no building. Right? A country that has no peace and also very poor and not so good. Right? No building. So if the church is, there's peace, but everybody's so poor, no rich experiences of Christ, no spiritual blessings, how can the church be built up?
Amen.
Right? Paul says the church is to be built with what?
Gold,
silver, and
precious stones.
We don't have these materials. We just have wood, hay, and stubble. Just like in Tacloban, where there was this superstorm. Everything disappeared after the superstorm. Landed there, right? Oh, Lord. So we need to pray, not only for peace, but also for the prosperity of the saints. Pray for one another, that we will all gain Christ, that we will all ascend, right? More and more, right? So that the church can be built up.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. And lastly, let us read a few verses in Romans. Romans chapter, I think it's here, right? Chapter 14. Verse 19, Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. Yeah.
Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another.
Go on, do not destroy,
the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense.
Go on. It is good neither
to eat meat nor to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak.
Amen. Right. So, in Psalm 122, going back, it says there, for the sake of my brethren and companion, I will say, peace be within you.
Amen.
Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Amen.
Yes, let us really maintain the peace and the oneness in the church life.
Amen.
For the sake of the brethren, for the sake of the new ones who come. If you're being loud, bothers the one sitting beside you, don't say, he has to learn to be tolerant. This has been our attitude. He has to learn. Right? But not everyone is like you. You may be loud, but the one beside you cannot bear that. What do you do? Well, you have to be quiet. Or at least be a little less loud. Be considerate. For the sake of peace. Because you're being loud might offend the brother beside you, and then he leaves the church. Right. So we need to learn. Paul says if eating meat will cause a brother to stumble, what's wrong with eating meat? Nothing. Right. For you, eating meat is no problem. But for the brother, eating meat is a problem. So Paul says, for the sake of the brother, for the sake of peace, for the sake of the building up of the church, he would rather not eat meat. Paul says, everything is lawful to him, but not everything is expedient. Not everything is good for the building up of the church. So for the sake of the brethren, let us give up a few things. It's okay. For the building up of the church, why not? Right? Don't insist on your opinion, on your own ways. Right? Let us learn to consider one another for the sake of the building of our church.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, when we reach this stage, then we are so much for the church. Then we see God's purpose.
Amen.
Right? God's purpose is really to build up the church.
Amen.
Right? Remember Peter? When he got the revelation that Christ is the Son of God, immediately the Lord told him, you are a
stone.
Peter means a stone. And upon this rock, I will build my church. So I hope that we are in this stage today. Right? That we are not just for ourselves to be matured Christian. Of course, we look forward to be first fruits. But that is in the future. Today, before we become first fruits, we are here to build up God's church.
Amen.
Right. May the Lord have mercy upon us.
Amen.
And really gain us fully for the building up of his church.
Amen.
Amen.